apathy. To God we now repent for the years of work we might have done that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Tim, are you there?
We're here.
I am. Good morning.
Oh, fantastic. It is July 15th, 2023, and we welcome you folks out there. Thanks. Just had to make sure I had the right button pushed and that get that CD stopped. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning in the direction that we are to go. We pray that we may be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. We pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way, and we lift up our hands, and we just ask, Father, that you just continue to do miracles across this land, Father. We pray for a healing of this land, Father. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust, and we're crying out to you, asking that you do save this land once again, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, there's been a lot of things that have been going on out in the world, and it's about every direction that that you turn, you can see something happening. And you know, to me, it's just the way that some of these people were exposing themselves and these terrors, showing themselves for what they are. Yesterday, I was watching an interview with Tucker Carlson and Mike Pence, and it was interesting because Tucker Carlson ended up calling him out, and Mike Pence was so interested. It's all he was concerned about, and all he was talking about was getting weapons to Ukraine, and talked about Ukraine. We need to do this. And Tucker Carlson, you know, brought up the point. And he said, you know, Mike. He said everything in every town across this country is in need of help. There's people here that need help. There's people that there's towns here that need help. There's communities here that need help. They, you know, they need assistance. They've been put into rubbles. And he told them, I can't remember the exact quote, basically, I'm not concerned about that, and I don't care. And it was just like, wow. I mean, you got somebody that's running for president of the United States, and they don't care about their own people, which we already know that, and we've seen that through their actions. But when they're actually just standing there saying it, putting it out just the way it is, it's like, you know, I really believe that it's they're showing their true colors.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting that that Ukraine is like one of the top three. I just read that they're one of the they're responsible for 8.3% of all the arms deliveries by the International Alliance, and, you know, for the last year. I mean, Qatar's number one, India's number two, Ukraine's number three. So and everybody worries, everybody's so worried about them. I mean, as far as the government angle goes, I haven't met too many people out here really. It's like, well, they'll have to solve their problem, you know? So, and they're doing forced conscription in the street, which is just another way of saying somebody pulls up and kidnaps your son or your father or your brother, you know. And the problem with forced conscription is it's those people don't have any belief in what's going on over there, so they're not taking part in, you know. There's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff going on. We're talking about changing behaviors, and that's one of the things that it's kind of funny because we got a lot of changing behaviors going on in the world right now. We've got politicians who are coming out with their "I don't care, I want my way, God doesn't matter, the people don't matter, take it, whatever you want, disarm them." There's a whole bunch of that stuff going on that's just like, they're showing their true colors. I think we're seeing that go on all around us. I think that God's taken the lies out of our eyes. He's opening those eyes and taking that color scheme off. Don't you think, Paul?
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Well, yeah, it's getting clearer. There's the right and the left, and the left is raising its ugly head, and it's about time the right noticed, I guess. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly putting it in our face. I mean, you know, and I think that I know one of the things that I was kind of looking at was they just came out, ConAgra just came out with a big thing. And, you know, ConAgra is like the largest, food farm consortium corporation in the world. I mean, they pretty much run everything, either on the face of it or behind the scenes. And they're talking about fact that they've got all these new consumer behavior shifts going on where, you know, well, we price things up, now people are buying less, now they're not, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. And the gist of a lot of the things I read, and I was sitting there thinking about some of it, and I was like, well, people don't just stop eating. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, that's it, it's expensive, I'm not eating anymore. No. But I think maybe what we're seeing there, and this is just a kind of a guess, I'm highly supporting evidence there, but there's a lot of people that are beginning to buy local, beginning to raise their own, beginning to, and that's why they want to register gardens and everything. They want the data. They want that. They want those numbers, that because the data leads to control, to profit, to power, you know, I think that I think we're seeing just several things like that go on. And yes, people are. I mean, God, and it's a working of God in my mind, in that, you know, when you get hard up, you find alternatives. And I think God's leading us to better alternatives. So, and basically, you can use the alternatives or get by with less, starve more, you know. I think we're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff go on.
Yeah, I would
agree.
Well,
look at the name. ConAgra. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to con the Agra. Yeah, exactly. So, and they buy all that stuff. And then there's all these things that go on in there that aren't good for you. Of course, you can't really sue. Or you can't really hold responsible. I don't really like the word sue, but they're never held responsible for any of the trash that they're pumping into people or that they're running out there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff goes on. That, and they're not the only company doing it, I'm sure. So, I have some opinions over the fact that we're dealing with a lot of this organics, you know, certified organics, but they have all these loopholes in the organic certification process that the government puts on things that allows, that still allows, what do you want to call it, adulteration of products or different things like that. I mean, I'm not saying that organics aren't better for you or anything else. What I'm trying to say is that it just leads people to game the system, you know, for this advantage and for this terrible thing that goes on. So if you wanted to feed people something bad, their favorite thing, their favorite con is to tell you it's good for you when it's not, you know, or to tell you that it'll help you when it won't, or, you know, because we've got all this data here that says that, or different things like that. It's like, it's those lies that people believe. And God says if you, you know, if you believe their lies, he'll give you better ones. So it's kind of a, the most organic stuff you're going to find is the stuff you raised in your garden or your friend who's a farmer down there that you know would do that kind of stuff with it. So.
Well, and I've noticed even here in our local like gardening supply stores and stuff, talking to the people that they are carrying more and more organic type products, and our local we got a small one right down here in LaPorte, and you go in there and they used to have a few things that were organic, but it was supply and demand, and now they have a whole section that's for organic gardening, and you know, and it's more and more people are wanting that. Also, what I've noticed is there's the books that are coming out. There's this, you know, the Small Farm Republic book that just came out that we just got in, and it's going to be, it'll be in the next Dragon Slayer newsletter available. But it's on, you know, basically the right versus the left and how we need to have these small farms. There's another one that they just sent me that says it's entitled Saying No to a Farm-Free Future, and I haven't read it, but it's a really good book. I went through and spot read a bunch of stuff in it, and I mean it's spot on, and it's, you know, trying to educate people on, you know, we need these small farms, and you know they're popping up all over the place. So that is encouraging, and when you have that, you have healthier people, and people are thinking right, and when they get away from the fertilizers, when they get away, you know, water's another thing that there's a lot of people that are, you know, realizing that, hey, we got to get away from the water that we've been drinking. We don't want this fluoride in our water, you know, and they're either using filters or they're using going back to well water or whatever they are doing, but they're trying to get away from it. And, you know, like Dad had always said for years and years and years that the fluoride in the water was to keep people docile. And, I think it's very effective.
Did you read that book, Jason?
I have not yet. I started it and I've read parts of it. Have you read it, Paul?
I'm into it pretty deep. Yeah, I read it. My point is, I think it's already started. You know, people are turning away from it. People are gardening. People are the farm markets are flourishing and stuff. I think it's already started. You know, when people are coming back to basics. But he made some good points about getting the division between the Democrats and Republicans on the same channel. You know, we need good food, you know, and that's a common thing. And I think he's right on. He used some words I've never heard of before, but that'll bridge it. And we start loving our neighbors ourselves, we'll bridge this whole thing. You know, a difference of opinion isn't all that bad. You know, you got to, you know. It ain't the right versus the left, really. It's how we deal with people on a one-to-one basis, basically. And nobody will see the world. Nobody will see the world exactly the way you do, and that's good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good and evil paradigm, right? Not a left, not a right. I always thought it was interesting that, you know, I have a left hand and I have a right hand. but they want to call it left and right all the time. And it's like, no, it's good and evil. I mean, my left hand does things and my right hand does things. They both benefit me. The good and evil is good benefits me, evil doesn't. So, you know, the wording that they use is bewitching too on a lot of that stuff. I mean, it's just like, you read documents out of just any number of things, court cases or any of that doctor speak. It's very confusing. It's very bewitching. It's strange how they affect you that way. And it's not good.
Well, a lack of food and inflation is going to bring people back together when you stop and think about it. We all have the same problem of food supply and lack of money. And that will make us start working together, you know.
Amen.
It's all, you know, it ain't going to be the way it was. It's just the way it is, you know. And you know, I think we're in a mental adjustment ourselves. You know, we've known this for a long time, but we're having our mental adjustments to this whole thing, too, as we watch it happen. So, as I see it, so.
Well, yeah, it's an ongoing process, right? I mean, it's even if you knew it was coming, you're still not, you don't have, it's never quite the way you think it's going to be or the way I think it's going to be. I mean, there's always some variations on the theme there that leave us going, okay. But God has it all well in hand. That part doesn't change. So.
Well, just like these politicians that are coming out and saying what they're saying, you know, that kind of wakes people up. Hey, they don't really care about us, you know, so they got to look to a different God. And they will come back to the God of creation at some point in time because that's all that's left. But he uses the evil. God said that, I think it's Isaiah 45, I created evil. He uses evil to straighten out his people, you know, to come back to him. So I believe it's in progress. I think there's some really good things happen. We're not looking to the government for our answers. I haven't for a long time, but other people are starting to see it too.
Yeah, this homelessness issue they're talking about all over the place, you know, and everything. And it's like, well, ask yourself, why is it so much worse now? Is it because people just don't want to, you know, they don't want to have a home or they want to live on the street? In some cases, that could be true, but it always was. Christ said, the poor you have with you always. There's some people that no matter what you did to them, they'd be the same, you know, person they were, living the same kind of mess and not take care of anything and not be good stewards. What situation, what lack of God, what lack of ethical responsibility has brought this about? And I think that the land has been spoiled to the point that those people can no longer afford to do certain things. It's the fault doesn't lie in their lack of financial or fiscal responsibility. Their fault lies in the fact that they left their God and left his way, and the benefits have left them as well, you know. So turn back.
Well, Jesus said we'll always have the poor amongst us. My old uncle said poor people have poor ways, you know, and God's way is a way to prosperity, you know, and it's called a work ethic and everything else, and not expecting anything for nothing. But some people just will go down with the system because they want gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yes, freeloaders. They just, it's free, I'll take it. Gimme two. You know, so, yeah. We run into those kind of, they're all there. And that's kind of what politicians are, really. They're just that upper crust of it. They want, as long as it's your money and it's free or it's your power or your proxy, why? And I think a lot of times that people don't realize that these politicians, these people that are there, you know, you're giving them your proxy to do what's done to you. I mean, you know, the simple fact that if you're not crying out to God, if you're not upset about it, if you just shrug your shoulders and go on, like, you know, it's an issue. I mean, you cannot. And there are times, well, what can I do about it? Well, I'll tell you one thing you can do about it. It's the most important thing you can do about it. Just get on your knees and talk to God about it, you know. So,
Amen. You know, changing the subject just a little bit, but something that happened to me earlier in the week, I was on a fence, and I jumped off of a fence and came down, landed on a piece of wood, and it had one of those, it was one of those fencing spikes for a corral fence, and it went into my foot and out of my foot and just caused, all kinds of pain, and been doctoring that for the last several days, and it's, you know, going to take several more days before it. I think the pain's going to be able to get around very good. But, you know, one of the things that I realized is I hadn't had something like this happen in a couple of years, but it just made me realize how thankful I would be just to be able to walk around without having this throbbing pain. And it put a lot of things into perspective, and I was down at the health food store trying to grabbing a couple of things and hobbling through there and looking around and just seeing how everybody's walking around, just they're walking good, they're walking on their feet with no pain, and how so many things that we just stop and we take for granted each and every day, you know, things that we don't think about until we're in a predicament that we're hurting bad or part of our body's not working or something like that, and boy, it sure makes you appreciate it when you don't have any problems.
Yeah, we take things for granted, you know, when it's going our way, but when we get humbled like that, it's a reality check.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was you know, just thinking, and it's like, you know what? I mean, it's like just being able to walk around pain-free. I would do just about anything to be in that position right now. I mean, it's, you know, walking with a limp, and every step I take is just throbbing, throbbing, throbbing. It's just that you lay there at night and you can't get out of pain. You can feel every heartbeat in your body in that leg, and you know, it's just I found myself, and it's just, I wanted to thank the Lord for when I'm out of pain. When this is gone, I prayed for it to be healed. I asked for it to be healed, but it's like, Lord, I felt guilty about not thanking Him for the everyday blessings of just not having infirmities. And it, like you said, it's humbling when something like that happens to you, which, you know, you don't think of it as a humbling experience, but it really is.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where it's like, well, when you don't have any pain, you're like, well, hey, everything's good. It's all good. It's no big deal. That's the way it's supposed to be. But, I certainly can understand what you're saying. I know we sit sometimes in the parking lots and watch some of the people go in store or something, you know, or go in and, you know, there's walkers and they can't walk and they've got all these, and it's like, good grief, there's a lot of people out there who have, we don't think about it so much because some of those problems don't happen in our households or in our homes, but when you look at that, it's like, oh my goodness, that's just, there's a lot of people out there that are having those issues, that have health issues, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of infirm people out there, and it's sad that, I mean, a lot of people just don't know that there's any alternative to going there to their doctor. But, you know, that's one of the things that comes along with eating better food and stuff like that. It's like it for a lot of people, it starts breaking the spell, and they start to wonder, they start looking into other things, and it's interesting because I get people that start getting on this kick, and they start learning about some of the herbs and some of the alternative medicine practices. And, you know, they email me and they call me and they like, have you heard of this? Have you ever heard of this? And I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, I've heard of it. And well, do you really think anything like that could work? And I'm like, oh yeah, I've known people that it's worked for. And they just, they're like, really? And they get excited about it. And, you know, when people start questioning their doctors, that's that's pretty encouraging, because that is in a lot of ways their small g god.
Absolutely, it is. There's no doubt about that. Well, and I think it's a lot like, it must be getting a lot like when Christ was walking the earth, because you know, where he would go out and set up. I mean, it says that the crowds were just massively huge of people who came to hear him and be healed and it looks to me like that would be the case today, I think.
Well, there's a lot of double-minded people out there. You know, we have that prayer night on Wednesday night, and so many people, you pray me, I'm going to the doctor. And I can't judge anybody for that, because, you know, that's where they're at. But sometimes we just got to flat take God at his word. I was thinking, too, when he healed somebody, what did he say to him? He says, your faith made you healed. You see, it's our faith. And then when you pray for somebody, we're as elders, we're encouraging because of our faith, because of the many years that we didn't have any ourselves, you know. So you got to be patient with people to some degree. But there's a huge amount of double-mindedness out there. God said it at the end of the matter, is my take. And he said we could move a mountain if we had the faith of mustard seed. I haven't moved an anthill yet, but it is possible, just because I haven't done it yet.
My wife and I were just talking about this the other day, but we had two people that, you know, were involved with, you know, are around, and they both have very similar circumstances, and they both needed some help, and mentioned to one of them that, well, you could do some things and this would help. And their response was, I'm seeing my doctor and, you know, and this and that. And it continued to get worse. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're replacing shoulders, and they're replacing knees, and they're doing this and that. And the other fellow, he said, really? Well, where do I get some of that? How do I do, you know, how do I, where do I, and man, he got involved. And really big responses, it really helped him out. And the first guy said, well, I don't believe that'll work. The second guy said, well, it can't hurt anything to try. I think it's a great idea. You know, so he, and total difference of, you know, focal point. And then when it got all better, well, of course, the next thing was, I can't wait to tell my doctor about this. It's like, I wouldn't look for him to be very excited about it, you know, because you're not going to be paying for his Mercedes or his third or his second house, you know. And he said, well, I'm just going to tell him. And finally, I kept kind of just saying that, because how do you tell somebody, you know, it's new people, and they're excited. They want to share it with everybody. And he finally said, well, I went in and I didn't say anything. They ran all the tests, and he said, wow, that's really working. And he said, well, I've been taking your stuff for 3 months, or doing that protocol. And he said, well, whatever you do, it's working great. Just keep it up. And he said, they usually have to go back every, 3-4 weeks. And he said, he was like, well, judging from what I'm seeing, I don't need to see you for at least a year or a year and a half. And he goes, that was really weird. the people out there waking up. I mean, it's like, it's just, I love watching. I didn't do anything. I love watching God work in those people's lives that truly want Him to work in their lives. And by the way, the second guy, he acknowledges God as the ultimate power and God in his life. The first guy doesn't. So, you know, there you see this kind of stuff going on all the time. So and that's happening. That's just a microcosm of what's going on all across this land right now. There's people waking up all over the place, and some aren't.
There's a book. A guy gave it to me several years ago, and finally last year I read it. It's called Alkalize or Die. and see all these joints that were very acid that's just eating us up. And you got to get into the alkaline side, and then your disease goes away. And it's a really good book. I don't have it in front of me and stuff like that. And the guy gave it to me. I mean, I'm about to have 4 or 5 years before I finally read it. And it's pretty exciting. It explains this whole thing, but you got to get in that alkaline side rather than that acid side. And that's what's causing eating up all these joints. So, it's pretty simple, really. When you think about it, it's a life change to change your ways, though. You got to be dedicated.
Well, and the more we look into that, the more we see that an enemy has done this. You know, they've changed our food system to where it actually harms. They've changed our water system to where it actually does bad things. They've changed our money system to where it destroys wealth. I mean, everything that they touch like that, and I use the word they, and there's a large group of they. They're called my man, but they all serve the same master, Satan. And, you know, when you look at that, you know, you need to ask yourself, well, where'd it come from? Who's running it? So it's probably not a good thing for me, you know. I mean, it's not going
to
help.
You know, I used to be in the Patriot movement pretty thick, and you go to all these meetings, and looking back, there was always a snake in there diverting the truth, you know. Curse the man that trusteth the man. Just, you know, you can learn stuff from people. But this whole organic thing is kind of like a cult, too. They're holy because they don't do this and that. And what we really need is God back in the farming system. With the, I think it's Leviticus 19:19, don't plant your fields with hybrid seeds is what I take it to mean. I'm not positive to that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it means. And then the lamb Sabbaths and stuff, and just, you know, let nature take care of itself. But we always want to alter it. You know, hey, when we got this miracle product, we get that out of, 1 year, and then you go back and reverse back. We got to let nature. There was an article, I get this Fruit magazine, and there was a guy that he wrote in the back of this book and this comment, because he said, the University of Oregon comes out here and wants me to try these organic pesticides. He says, I won't use them, because anytime you kill one sec, it affects another one. It throws the whole thing out of balance. He said, I lose a little fruit, but he won't use even the organic pesticides and stuff like that, because it's about self-righteousness. You know, people are desperate because they know the food system's bad. That lady called me while back, and she looking for some organic strawberries. Well, I had none because the drought just fried my plants, and I don't have irrigation. But some of these people are desperate. But the Bible says you pray over your food, and even if it's poison, it'll take care of it. We got to put faith back in this whole thing. Even that guy, that book that we were talking about, Jason, we got to put God back in the center of this, and then it'll work. But, you know, he has some very good points. The whole thing of the carbon thing is a cult, you know. And what do trees use? They use carbon. There's so many trees around me. There's 90% more trees that I can see out my window right now that weren't here when I was a kid. They were open fields. Now they got 12, 14-inch maples in them. You know, you hunt pheasants in the grass on them. Now they're all covered with trees. They're using carbon, you know, CO2. That's what they thrive on. They give off oxygen. I mean, it's the whole thing is baloney.
Wow. Well, we had a good example of that is that we're just talking to one of the cousins, and she had some, quote, organic, unquote, soil, you know, starter soil. She was working in her greenhouse starting seeds for the garden, you know, earlier this spring. And she said, I put the seeds in there. She said, they came up just a little bit and died. She said, they just looked like they'd been poisoned. I mean, they just totally died. She said, I used that soil last year. It was fine. She had several bags. And she said, I was like, oh, no, that's not good. What am I going to do? So finally she went out and she dug some soil out of the garden and got some of that, brought it in, and, you know, got it repotted. And she used the same seeds, which they're you know, heirloom type stuff. And she planted those. She said it grew just fine with that. So she said, well, at the same time I planted the seeds in the garden soil, I planted some more and some more of that soil, and they did exactly the same thing. She said, I think they got some kind of time release poison in that destroyed it. She may be right. I don't have any idea, but I thought it was interesting anyways that whatever, it worked fine the year she bought it, but, you know, you couldn't carry it over and use it. I mean, that's a little bit that's a little bit odd. So, you know, there's things like that go on all over the place.
It's a movement. It's a good thing. You know, I deal with a cherry farm. They're doing 250 acres at organic, and it's competing with the conventional, actually, it's superior. And then there's another one that I know about. They got 400 acres of cherries that are going organic. So the movement's going on. You know, you got to start somewhere. You know, I'm quite a bit different than I was 30 years ago. So, but you got to start somewhere. And I would have thrown the baby out with the bathwater at that time. So I go pick it up. So think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the world right now, and people are beginning to look around and this business in the schools, this business in the money system. And I got a question for you. What do you think of this? What's your take on the student loan forgiveness thing? I'm getting a lot of questions on that here. I'd like to hear what you think about that, because it's kind of a I have some ideas on it, but I'm interested in what you think.
Well, if you borrow the money, you owe it. You know, that's what it amounts to. But now, if they want to do a total forgiveness across the country, now that might be a start. You know, forgive all debt and then start over. That would be the goal, but not just the students. My take.
Yeah. I think that it's one of those things that, and my thought on it is the whole system's so twisted. You hit basically what I say, too. It's like, well, the system's so twisted up, you got to have a reset. I mean, God, it's just that. That doesn't really fix anything. It's just a Band-Aid for some of it. And, you know, some of these guys are like, well, they're so stupid that they went down and got a degree in, you know, polka dancing or, you know, some goofy thing that's useless to them. And now they got all the student debt. When you raise those kids up in that public education system from, you know, birth and up, their minds are already twisted around. So the problem goes a lot deeper than just the debt. But, you know, I think the other thing is the whole thing's a lie. I mean, there's no spoon, is what I say all the time. It's kind of a line out of the Matrix, but the first thing you got to realize is that isn't money. That's just the power that they exercise over you, and you bought into the lie. So the first thing you got to do is get yourself out of the lie.
Forget who's really running this thing. God's running this thing. He sends this oppression on us because of our sin. You know, farmers too. They're taking these government money. Need to take that because they have a lack of faith. Faith is a pretty rare thing these days, actually. Everybody looks at things economically. You know, if they got enough money, they can survive in a system. But the money, you're going to have a wheelbarrow full and can't buy nothing. This is what it's coming down to. You know, like the book says, that food and that inflation will bring us together at some point in time. I believe it's already happened. You know, you talk about the organic section in that store. It's a change of mind, and that's a wonderful thing. So you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I have a theory, too. There are no bad insects. There's no bad funguses. There's a lot of bad plants. An insect and a fungus is a secondary issue every time. You get a good healthy plant. I had a friend. He came up with this collard wrench for trees, and he had an elm tree that was flagging that was starting to die up. You know, a big shoot on the end. Well, he treated it, and in 10 days, it sent roots around that spot. That fungus is really killable. It can't exist under good conditions. What it amounts to, and that's sin in the life too. You can't exist if and people don't know what sin is. So I mean. It can't exist if people live in righteous in that way. You know, there's one lawgiver. People in Lansing or Washington, D.C. don't make law. They make policy. And that's the difference.
Yes.
There's one lawgiver.
There was somebody on there doing an interview, one of them. And I don't even know. I didn't watch the whole thing. It was just a quick clip. I watched part of it. But they were talking about they were interviewing somebody from, I think it was the ATF, and they were talking about administration. You know, you can't make that law. You administrate what we say out. And I'm not saying that they make law, because they don't either. But the point I'm getting at is there's these things are all dangerous from their point of view when they begin to push all this stuff out, because, you know, people take that little bit of truth and they expound on it. Well, they can't make law. Well, who says God? Or how can you can't make anything new either. You know, I mean, I think that sometimes they condemn themselves out of their own mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's like, just keep talking. You're going to talk yourself right into a corner.
Well, an attorney has absolutely no standing in court without a client. And what that amounts to, the people have the power, but they don't know the law, so they use an attorney. You know, you can use an attorney, but you got to dictate what happens. They're not all bad. There's some real scum in that group, but there's people that function decently in the system, and they are out there. But, you know, if you don't know, you got to hire somebody. So, and that's the trouble, people that don't know law. An attorney is he has no standing in a court without a client. So that means the power's in the people if we repent and go back to him.
Amen.
And I think people are doing that too. I think that we're seeing that. That's encouraging. We got people asking questions. We got stuff that's coming out, and it's a lot of people, and there's a lot that is just focusing on the doom and the gloom. Oh, they're going to do this to us, and they're going to do that to us, and we're going to have this major food storage, and you have to have all this food storage and stuff. And, you know, people they can be robbed of the joy of the Lord that they're supposed to have in their lives. It can take it from them. It can take it from their families. I've seen so many families that's all that they want to do is prepare for, you know, the end of the world, when everything crashes, when everything shut down. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about being a survivalist and being prepared, but I'm not going to live my life in fear either, because when people do that, they take God out of the equation, and they don't have the faith that they need to have. They're not putting him first and foremost. They're not trusting him. They're not relying on him to provide anything for them. And I think that I know for a fact that our Heavenly Father, that's one of the things that he desires, is our people to trust him, to put trust in him, to have faith in him, to, you know, that encourages him. It's, you know, we're going to our Heavenly Father and saying, Dad, can you take care of this? And when we do that, he shines his face down upon us, and he's glad to do things for us. You know, it's instead of being a bunch of knotheads, we're gonna do it on our own without God. That's kind of a tough road to hoe.
Well, there's a story of King Asa. You know, God did some reckless things in his life. I don't know where it is exactly, but anyway, he delivered him in some from them his enemies several times and stuff like that. Then he had trouble with his feet, and then he turned to the physicians and he died. God wanted to show him, you know, he got up the last one, he quit, you know, so to speak, because, you know, God can do all that stuff. And the Bible says the herbs of the feeling are for healing. In Revelation, they said they would not give up their sorcery, which is their pharmaceuticals. I mean, look at the people on pharmaceuticals. I mean, we got a place here in Grand Rapids, they call it the Medical Mile. It should be a little place on a corner where you go in and get some herbs and get back on your way, you know, because the people have forgotten God, and this is what our real issue is in this whole country. And if you study American history, you know, George Washington spent a winter in Valley Forge on his knees praying. A lot of those people didn't even have shoes, and they beat the biggest military thing in the whole world, and because of prayer, God delivered them. So we cut him short pretty bad.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we've only got a few more minutes left here. Closing thoughts, Tim?
Well, the arm of our strength will fail us, but our God will lift us up. I mean, I think that You know, we're required under God's articles of stewardship to do everything that we can do to fulfill and further his kingdom. And if that's your motivating thought, then all is well. We just need to focus on doing that. And God's going to take care of the rest of it. And we're not perfect, but he'll take care of us.
Well, he picks the weak and the foolish, and I definitely qualify. wisdom comes from God, God's ways. And, you know, the Bible says he who dwells on the law cannot be moved. Yeah, it's his way or the highway. And he would love to intervene for us, but he can't intervene, on a rebellious people. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I would. I would agree. One of the books that I pulled out the other day and I started reading again, it was by Pastor Peters. It was America the Conquered, and I hadn't read this book in a long time, but I pulled it out and it was just like, oh my goodness, there's so much truth in there. And in the dedication, I just want to read part of that. And he said, "This is dedicated to my wife Sherry, who is more than a shining and blessed example of the worthy woman of Proverbs 31. With her courage, faith, love, God, and country, she has always supported me and spurred me on in the work God has given me to do. Without her, this book would never be. Special acknowledgement goes to our children, who have always honored their father and mother, courageously stood by their side when the Antichrist forces unleashed their slanderous persecutions. May this book help in giving them and their children a once again unconquered America." And as I read this book, it was basically it was America the Conquered, but it's a plan on how to unconquer America from our enemies. And I think that message is so important. It's we've got these things that are going on about it. People need to be aware of it, but there is an answer. And we're getting there. So many people, there's a lot of people that have given up, and that's one of the things that I appreciate about you, Paul, is, you know, always trying to give people hope and trying to leave people with hope. And I learned that from you, and that's something that is so important. It's you got to give people hope. If you just talk about the bad things and this and that, and you know, it's they don't have it, and you know, they really need it. That hope is hope. Can just talking about that message of hope can give people a whole lot more, and it's something that's contagious. And you know, people really need to have that. You know, if you look at the scene, our enemies have won. They've got us lock, stock, and barrel. If we look at the unseen through faith and have that hope and faith and belief that our God is greater than their gods. Our king is stronger than their king. Greater are the forces that are for us and the forces that are against us. It can really change a person's perspective in a jiffy, and that's encouraging. And some of the people that I've talked to that are waking up to truths, it's encouraging because it's some of the people that I never thought would wake up. You know, not that I didn't believe in miracles, but it's like, really? This person? And so God's hands are definitely at work, and just encourage people to be praying and praying for their fellow man and their brothers and sisters. And when you see somebody struggling with something, pray for them, lift them up in prayer. You don't have to go and tell everybody, well, I'm praying for this person or I've been praying for you. You can just do that on the side. And it's amazing what sometimes some of that stuff can do.
Well, I'm drinking coffee out of a cup you sent me. Hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul, Hebrews 6:19. So, yeah, I drink coffee out of that cup all the time, Jason.
Oh, good. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time.
Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves.
Exactly. Amen. And, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in. And we are printing Dragon Slayer Newsletter Volume 5. So hopefully this later on, well, it'll be next week. Into next week, we'll have that getting shipped out to you. And if you're not receiving that right to us, we sure would like to send it to you. And our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And with that, we're going to go out with a song.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised. How far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.